What's up, guys? This is John. Welcome to the 41st episode of the Mungalog podcast. And I tricked you guys. I said I was going to do Yona the Dawn part two, but I'm a little behind in the reading for that. And I recently finished Beck. So I figured, you know, while Beck is still fresh in my memory, I'm just going to go ahead and do an episode on that. I love this manga so much. I should have been prioritizing Yona, and I wasn't. I was reading Beck because I was like, oh my God, I'm so close to finishing and it's so good. So I finished Beck, and that's what this week's episode is going to be on. I promise I'm still doing Yona the Dawn part two. I just had to reread the material that I read like a year ago to kind of refresh myself. And now I can continue reading the other volumes that I need to in order to actually do the episode on it. So just a little bit of transparency there. That's why the episodes are out of order. I was planning to do a Beck episode. I was going to do it after the Yona one, actually. And I'm just going to go ahead and do that now. So this is Beck, written by Harold Sakuishi. And that's his pen name. He is Japanese. His legal name is Takahiro Sakuishi. And he has a variety of interests that's played into the subject matter of several of his series, including baseball, martial arts, and of course, music with Beck. In English, I think we only have we have Beck, and then Seven Shakespeares is another series. And both of those are Comixology originals that you could either read on Comixology, or you can use, if you have Amazon Prime, it's actually included free in Amazon Prime Reading. So if you had downloaded the Kindle app, you could actually read both series in full through Amazon Prime Reading. Not to be confused with Kindle Unlimited. That Kindle Unlimited is a subscription, and as far as I know, from a manga reader's perspective, I don't think it's worth the subscription because it does have manga on there, but it's only like the first few volumes. So I don't think it's worth the subscription. But the fact that in Prime Reading, at least, you have like quite a, you know, there's like probably 10, I think, series, but you have them in full, including they recently added Shaman King, which I definitely want to read eventually. So those are your two options. I don't know if they sell the physical volumes. I didn't bother checking. I should have done that before I started the podcast. Those are the two that we have, Seven Shakespeares and Beck. He does have a more recent series called Rin, and that is a series focused on the plot revolves around like being a manga creator. And I didn't look into it too much because I don't think it's legally available in English. But that story was more recent, ran from 2013 to 2016 for a total of 14 volumes. And I'm not sure what Mr. Sakuishi is up to now. It seemed like 2016, with the ending of Rin, that was his last manga series to date. I think he is like in his 50s now, so I'm curious if he plans to write another series. It's been 4 years, so unless Wikipedia or My Anime List is out of date and he does have something more recent. So Beck was originally published in Monthly Shonen Magazine, which ran stuff like Your Lie in April. I think it's currently running Noragami, Welcome to the Ballrooms, another series. And, you know, this is a Shonen Magazine. That's the demographic. The English release, of course, is published by Kodansha in English. All 103 chapters, collected into 34 volumes. It had some licensing issues early on, and I think that's because it was originally a Tokyopop license that expired, that Kodansha let expire, and there were only 12 volumes out when that license expired, and then Comixology started releasing the rest in 2018, so relatively recently, about 2 years ago, Comixology decided to continue releasing Beck, which is really cool that we get the rest of the story in English. The genre for the series, it's a coming-of-age musical drama romance, and that's according to Wikipedia. And as for, you know, just other things in relation to the series, it does have a 26 episode anime made by Studio Madhouse, which, if you're familiar with, has done quite a few hits, including like Death Note, and I'm blanking on other ones, but Madhouse is a pretty prolific studio. I don't know recently if there's anything like crazy awesome they did. There is a series I want to watch by them called Girls Beyond the Wasteland, or no, not Girls Beyond the Wasteland. Whoa. No. A different series about the girls that go to Antarctica. I forgot what it's called. I really want to see it. Not Girls Beyond the Wasteland. That series is trash. no, it was, God, oh my God, I'm slipping on the title, but it's a series with about these girls that go to Antarctica. And I think Madhouse also produced a series recently. Oh, a Netflix original. I think it's Great Pretender. I want to see that too. If I'm not mistaken, that's also a Madhouse series. But anyways, the anime aired from 2004 to 2005. So this is a while ago. This is actually before the manga ended. And you can watch it on Funimation now, sub and dub. They dubbed it a little later, Funimation did, around 2007, 2008. And there is a PS2 video game, believe it or not. It's like a rhythm game. Kind of, you know, kind of crappy looking, not going to lie. I don't think it's available in, you know, English. I think it's only a Japanese game. Might have been released other countries, but I'm not sure. And then there's a live action film, which I also don't believe we got in English. But I did see some clips from it, and it definitely changes some things around, just from based on what I've seen. And they actually do have, like, I don't know, like, American actors in it. Like, the one that, there's an actor that plays Eddie Lee, which is, like, one of the very important characters in the series. He's part of a band, a popular band in the canon of the series. And he's bilingual. And so they have a English-speaking, actually, no, he's not bilingual. I think he's only English-speaking, but one of the characters that's friends with him is bilingual. So he's able to, you know, he has like a good friendship with him, but it's just so weird to see. I mean, I don't watch a lot of Japanese films. It's so weird to see like just a perfectly English speaking, presumably American actor. I can't remember if he's actually American, in a Japanese film. It was kind of cool to see like just some clips from the movie with this character Eddie Lee, As for the manga itself, it tells the story of a group of Japanese teenagers who form a rock band called Beck. And if you look at it's sometimes referred to as Beck Mongolian Chop Squad. The story actually gets into why Mongolian Chop Squad is a part of the name. But it's about this band and their struggle to fame. Really, the focus is, I think at the start of the series, he's 14 years old. He's in middle school. His name is Yukio Tanaka, or Koyuki is what he's constantly referred to throughout the series, like his nickname that just kind of sticks with everyone he meets. And Koyuki ends up meeting this guitar prodigy, Ryusuke Minami, and this is the bilingual character I was talking about that was friends with this other popular band Eddie Lee. Sorry, my thoughts are all jumbled up. But and he was just, Koyuki was just like kind of, you know, wasting away his days in middle school, just kind of an average teenager, boring life, you know, that kind of setup where he's like nothing really given his life meaning. He has no passion. And I'm kind of feeling that now. So at times, not going to lie. So I can definitely relate. And it's just the shenanigans he gets into after encountering Ryusuke Minami one day. And I'm just going to get straight into my impressions about this series because, man, there's so much I love about this series, so much. I'm not going to lie, it's probably going to be a lot of me gushing because I just couldn't find anything negative really to say. And not like I go out of my way to find something negative, but if there's something that stands out to me as like, that could have been done better, I'll usually say it on the show. But for this series, let's just get into it. So for the story, again, middle schooler named Koyuki, meets Ryusuke. Ryusuke, at some point, they end up hanging out because they meet together on the street. I think Ryusuke's dog, which is named Beck, he kind of lets him off the leash. He's being picked on by some kids. I think they're like, I don't know, poking him with sticks or throwing rocks at him or something because Beck's kind of an ugly looking dog and they're just messing with him. And Ryusuke kind of steps in, but like, hey, stop that. And then, I'm sorry, Koyuki steps in and is like, hey, stop that. And Ryusuke takes notice of that. And eventually these guys just kind of hang out. And Ryusuke, he's reveals himself to be like really good at the guitar. And Koyuki's like, whoa, this is different. and Ryusuke kind of opens his eyes to the world of like Western music. And Koyuki really has no experience with Western music. He has like a favorite female pop singer. That's kind of, her name's dropped so many times in the manga, and I already forgot what her name was, but she's like the one of the most popular pop singers in Japan in the canon of the series. I don't know if she's a reference to anyone in particular. But yeah, so he mainly just listens to pop music. And when he's asked what his tastes in music are, he's like, well, I like so-and-so, the pop singer. But Ryusuke really opens his eyes to a whole other side of music. And I can relate to this, actually, because not only when I was first getting into like Japanese music, because as a person in, you know, living in America, that's pretty foreign to me. But also when I went from like listening to, you know, my mom, she was really into like R&B music and stuff like that. She really liked Usher. And then of course, like the, you know, hip hop, you know, that kind of stuff that, you know, it's always the most prevalent, most popular music and, on the radio. And that's kind of what I grew up on. But, you know, I went from kind of listening to that and then, kind of, you know, branching out a little bit with like Linkin Park when I was younger. I'm like, okay, this is more like, you know, this is more, you know, more of a, has more of a rock sound. And like, yeah, there's rap in there, but it's different, you know, it kind of goes a little harder. You know, like it kind of opened my eyes. I had this like wow moment. I'm like, whoa, Linkin Park is so cool. This is so different. Like, I'm just laughing. I'm sorry. And then a friend introduced me to a band called A Day to Remember when I was in middle school. And then so I started getting into like this rock music that had a little more of a harder edge to it. I know the genre thrown around is called post-hardcore. So there's like some screaming vocals, you know, that kind of thing. And then I started diving into that genre from A Day to Remember. I'm like, it was just this rabbit hole. And I started listening to like Asking Alexandria and Bring Me the Horizon. I just like, you know, I was going really heavy into that side of music. And then it's just like, when you go down a rabbit hole of discovery like that, it's very easy for music to really take over your thoughts. And that's essentially what happens to Koyuki in the manga. I mean, he's motivated by other factors as well, you know, trying to, I think he likes a girl in a school and he's trying to maybe like impress her or, and then Ryusuke, he's also got Ryusuke on the side, Ryusuke Minami, pushing him. And he's put into situations where he's motivated to get better and until he starts actually performing music at some point. So it starts as a hobby. I think Ryusuke gives him a guitar to practice with and it quickly moves into something else. It you know, he starts to make friends through it. He eventually noticed as a talented singer. And then there's a point where, you know, they form the band Beck. And it's just, it's the way it escalates to that point feels very natural. You know, when you're introduced into something by like maybe somebody older than you that kind of, you know, that you kind of look up to and they're really pushing you through this hobby and you see how passionate they are and it kind of gets you excited. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, Koyuki, you want to practice with me? Hey, you want to help perform at this small music, you know, event, you know, that kind of thing. It all of a sudden it just starts to take over your life. And if it clicks with you, it's something that sticks with you. So, and that's essentially what happens here in this manga. That's kind of where the rest of the story takes over. So they form the band Beck, and suddenly, while the story is still focused on Koyuki, it expands to be about the members of this band, and we have one of the first friends that Yuki makes in middle school, because I didn't really get into this to begin with, but he's kind of being ostracized at school. I mean, he's being bullied, and the bullies that kind of, you know, run the joint or make sure that nobody talks to Koyuki, that kind of thing. So he's kind of a loner too. It kind of sucks. He didn't really do anything to deserve it, but he's just kind of, you know, one of those kids that you got singled out, and that's just like his life. You know, being you know, victim to all this bullying, and he's kind of stuck in it, you know. But there's this kid Saku who's like a transfer student. He becomes the drummer of the band Beck, and really becomes Koyuki's first real friend in the school. Not counting Ryusuke, who's a couple years older than him, but Ryusuke dropped out of high school. He's like working some sort of like fishing job or something, and Saku is a really mild-mannered dude, and he's super talented. And then later on you meet Chiba, who's like, he's kind of the hothead of the group. He's a hothead, but he's like, he's really sensitive. He gets emotional, but he's not the type that's going to show that at times, you know. And he's like the rapper of the group. So if you're getting the vibe of this band, I'm assuming the inspiration is like Red Hot Chili Peppers, because that's Haro Tsukushi, Sakuishi. Oh, man, it's hard, his last name's hard to say. That's his favorite band. I think it's on, you know, I don't know if you look on Wikipedia that he's professed that to be his favorite band at some point. I don't know what the source was, probably in some sort of interview. But so that's probably the inspiration for this band, I'm assuming. So because it has like that, you know, a little bit of like rapping. Red Hot Chili Peppers. Oh, I haven't listened to a ton of their stuff. I only recently got into them because of this manga. Maybe Rage Against the Machine is more of like a better comparison. I don't know. It's hard to know what they actually sound like without having read, you know, watched the anime, or the movie. But that's like kind of what I envision them as, I guess. But anyways, so Chiba, he's like the rapper in the group. And despite getting into like altercations with people, he's really good at connecting with people. He's, you know, being a hothead, he tends to get into fights, but like on his stage presence is just amazing. He's really good at drawing people in. And he's just kind of the hype man of the group, you know? And then we have Taira. He's the bass player. He has the second most musical experience. So Ryusuke, of course, who's like a prodigy. Taira has had like experience playing with other bands. He's kind of the unofficial leader of the group because I think it's actually kind of cool because he's not the main character, but he's the one that seems to have his crap together the most, you know. He really keeps a cool head. He kind of like steers everyone straight. And Ryusuke, despite being like the catalyst of the story and the most talented in the group, really, he ends up being the least reliable one. Because, you know, he gets into all kinds of trouble, and, you know, there's periods of the story where he kind of just takes off, handling his own personal business. And, but he just absolutely kills on the electric guitar. And him and Koyuki have an interesting dynamic. Ryusuke is really hard on Koyuki, especially when they're like composing music or recording. And he also like just craps on Koyuki's lyric writing at times. And even the other characters, the guys and the girls, that are in the group, I'm not in the band. There's some girl characters that pop up later that are particularly close to, you know, what's going on with the events of the group. And they notice that he's particularly tough on Koyuki, but I think Ryusuke feels responsibility to Koyuki as the one that kind of brought Koyuki into this whole world, this whole musical world. So, and they're playing the same instrument, essentially. One's playing like lead, and the one's probably playing like the chords and stuff, but I just really like these characters, guys. They're very down to earth. I think the manga, just the way it's translated, like there's a lot of like super just casual like cussing. I think that kind of helps with the like very like down to earthness of the manga, because like if this manga were a film, it would definitely be rated R for just the sheer volume of language. I mean, there's not really nudity or anything, but there's like just constant, like, you know, there's characters saying the F word and stuff like that. Like, I don't see that often in manga, and it's just rare, I guess, for a manga to have this level of like a language. And but it makes it feel grounded, you know, because you're dealing with teenagers, and let's be real, teens don't always have the most pleasant vocabulary. And these guys are just so tight, and they get into fights with each other, they tease each other, but at the end of the day, they're just bros, you know. Like, it really makes you envious of their relationship. And even other characters in the manga, like other bands look at Beck, and they see just how tight knit they are, and you know, it's like that there's specific panels I remember where characters are like, man, look how tight these dudes are, you know, like that's cool. But yeah, you don't have to be super into music to like this manga. Like, I'm not even like into sports, but I can recognize a good sports manga or anime. And then same for like manga or anime that revolve around games like Shogi and stuff. Like, if the content's good, I will really get into it. And Beck has a little bit of everything. There's drama, there's romance, music, I mean, there's action, like there's actual fight scenes, you know, and then some crazy events. You have these kids that are brought together by this band, and you're sold on this dream that they have of making it big. They're the underdogs, you know, despite all the odds that they face. It's just, I don't know, if you like underdog stories, I think you're really gonna like Beck. It's a Japanese band, right? So this is the origin is a Japanese band, but they want to be global. They want to be one of the greats, and that's insane to think about, especially a band coming out of Japan, right? And they acknowledge this in the story, that like there's like the impossibility of it, you know, or just like the slim chances of like a band originating from Japan making it global. Like other countries just have the music scene down so, you know, so dominantly, right? And it's rare to see like a Japanese band or just any sort of like Asian rock band make it big outside their countries, right? This manga, it just really makes me feel nostalgic for like when I was a kid, and there was just, you know, like when I was a kid, I got into a lot of different hobbies. I remember I was like, yeah, I'm going to write a book. I'm going to be a professional skateboarder. I'm going to draw a manga, make music, you know, like all these kinds of dreams that I had. Right. And, it makes me feel sad because I could have actually done some of those things if I had someone pushing me because I went through all these phases that they just phased out. That's exactly what they were phases. And watching these kids just slowly realize their goals is just so satisfying. And this manga, like, it keeps you on a ride, man. It just when you, because like it's 34 volumes, it's pretty decent length manga, but it knows how to keep you invested. It knows how to build tension. You're heavily invested in the band, and each misstep they have is just like a stab in the chest. You know, it could be, you know, whether it's enemies in the industry that are screwing them over, or they're just having really, you know, trouble with their interpersonal relationships, or, you know, maybe something that delays a band member showing up to an important event or performance on time. There are moments where things just escalate and you're just literally swiping through the pages because you can't stop reading until the issue is resolved. It is amazing. And and the characters are really just as strong, because if I couldn't follow this band, I mean, you're following this band on this journey. Like, if you don't feel close to these characters, it's not really worth the investment. And it even makes like side characters, antagonists, you know, you start to feel close to them despite some of them doing some terrible things. So it's just so many people are connected. It's kind of cliche to say, but they're all connected through music. Like this is, you're just stepping foot inside this world of music. The same way Beck is just kind of learning all these new things. You're learning all these new things. And it's really cool to see this stuff from the inside. You don't really get the perspective all the time. And it's clear that Harold Sakuishi did his research. And he also, like, I think he has a whole team that's working on this manga. You know, he's the artist and the writer, but like he has like, I think, four other assistants. And I'm sure a part of them, you know, doing the research, making sure, I'm sure, like, instruments were drawn correctly and described correctly, things like that. It's really cool to see just the amount of effort that was put into this manga. It feels authentic. You know, and again, I'm not like super huge on like the music world and you know what different instruments do and the significance of like certain instruments and things like that. But like, I was invested. I haven't really talked. So I'm talking a lot about the story and the concept and everything and the characters. For the art, I think it tries for a slightly more realistic approach. This manga actually has a variety of characters, because again, with the whole concept of this band wanting to be global, you see all kinds of different characters from different countries. And like, for instance, like you see African-American characters, like, and just foreign characters in general that don't look like completely offensive stereotypes, right? Which I think is really cool. Like, I think Sakuishi did his best that he could here, and I think he nailed it. Like, because there's a range of body types, age groups. You got characters that are goofy looking, and then characters that look like they're models. I mean, so much diversity in the cast, so much diversity in the clothing they wear, the locations, just lots of attention to detail. You can tell research was done. I mean, I'm sure Sakuishi traveled and took pictures to get some of these spots, just nail them down, you know? And one of the things that I'm actually, you know, that might hold you back from it. It's like, well, this is a music manga. And like, how do you draw something in, like, because like a lot of the really climactic scenes are like, you know, take place in this form of a concert or a performance, right? because that's like that's kind of like the be all end all. It's like when they finally get to perform, you know, that kind of thing, in front of a huge, you know, in front of a big crowd, or, you know, that kind of thing. And that's not always the climactic moments. There are other moments that take place off the stage. But the struggle with music manga is that you can't always, you know, you can't hear the music, right? But I actually kind of like this because you essentially have to go by the characters' descriptions and reactions. And it's easier to have your mind, it's easier to, when your mind has to fill in the blanks, you know, you just assume that, wow, these guys are great, you know, because the characters are saying they're great. You don't have to hear them. Cause then it kind of shadows that reality. If you actually hear, like, I'm actually curious if I ever watch the anime or whatever, how the performances are, because I feel like it's kind of going to shatter whatever I've built up in my head, you know? But I think the concerts and stuff are intense regardless, because just of the context of them and just how wonderfully they're drawn, just seeing characters in their zone and doing their thing and seeing the crowd's reaction, it really immerses you despite not actually hearing the music. And I'm curious how the anime handles this, but I don't know if I want to really find out. I did see some of the anime, like just the first couple of episodes. I think I only got like less than two episodes in because it was just, I don't know. So I tried watching the dub. It's like, oh, people are like, oh, you know, it's actually a pretty decent dub. And I'm not like a sub versus dub guy. If I like the dub, I'll watch a dub. If I don't like the dub, I'll watch the sub. That's basically how I go. I always start with the dub. And with Beck, the dub was not great. I don't like, I forgot what his name was that plays Koyuki in the dub. He also plays like Ranta in Dead Man Wonderland. He plays like these really like scrawny, kind of like, you know, weak characters, I guess, kind of whiny. And I pictured Koyuki's voice differently. I actually like Koyuki's voice actor in the sub, but I did not like him in the English dub. And there's just a couple like of like other characters, like side characters, I don't think were particularly casted well. And even some of the main characters, I just like, it's a tie, like Taeda is Johnny Young Bosch, I believe, which is cool. Or maybe no, I'm sorry, Saku is Johnny Young Bosch, but like I just didn't match Johnny Young Bosch's voice to Saku. So like I've had their voices in my head reading the manga, and like sometimes when a dub is casted, like sometimes it's spot on and I'm like, yes, this is how I imagine them being. But like in terms of Beck's dub, I couldn't do it. I was like, no. But I've heard some of the characters' voices like in later episodes. I was just curious what they sounded like, and it's like, no, this is not what I envisioned. But then I watched the sub, and it just has, because you know a lot of characters in Beck are like bilingual, or they're just, you know, straight up characters that speak English, right? And it was just really hard because like in terms of like English, it was actually pretty decent, but like, I was like, but it's still off-putting. It kind of pulls you out of it because the English is not great. And I was like, man, and Beck has a lot of English. So I'm like, I'm going to have to deal with this for the rest of the series. And I'm like, and then also like some of the songs that they perform are in English. Some of the songs Beck performs are in English. So like if the voice actor's English isn't, you know, fantastic, then it's like, I know it's going to pull me out of the music. It's going to pull me out of the series. So I just can't get into Beck for that reason. And for a Madhouse anime, I don't think it looks particularly good. I mean, it's an old series. I mean, it's from what, 2004, right? But then again, I mean, Death Note was what, 2006? It was only a couple years later, but Death Note looks a lot better. I don't know. It could be a direction. I don't know. But I just didn't think Beck looked particularly good either. So there's just a couple things I don't like about the anime. And that's kind of my long tangent about the anime. But yeah, and in terms of like the English too, one thing I like about the manga is that it's so realistic. It doesn't really pretend that the characters understand each other. Or like you see sometimes in some series, like the characters, magically everyone knows what everyone knows everything everyone said, even though that character may not be bilingual, you know, even though like they're speaking completely different language, somehow they still like know what each other said. And they don't do that in Beck. Like there are moments where a Japanese speaking character will have to interact with English speaking characters And a lot of time, they just don't know what they're talking about, or like a translator will have to step in. And it's just, and that actually plays into some plot lines where like a character didn't actually hear the, you know, or the translator is unreliable and gave them a false narrative about what was said. You know, that plays into some misunderstandings and stuff in the series. So like they actually, this is handled actually pretty well in the series, when it's in terms of like when characters speaking English and when characters speaking Japanese and they don't understand each other. It's actually really cool and creative the way it's done, and it works. Man, I'm going really long on this episode. I guess just some final thoughts. I've never had a manga where I've actually cried from not even sadness, but just joy. I feel like I've been on a journey with these guys, just this group of boys, watching them grow into young men. Beck is, it's special. It's special, man. It's special to me. It got me to listen to music again. It got me to actually pick up my guitar, because I've had a guitar. I took lessons years ago, and since I started college, I just kind of put it in my closet and never took it out again. And it just kind of made me reevaluate how I spend my free time, and it's been making me just reflect on myself a little bit, and kind of I'm really kicking myself for wasting so much time just doing things that don't lead up to anything, and I'm just trying to change that. And Beck's just really, it's just really inspiring, man. If you watch it or read it, I guarantee it's gonna motivate you to do something. It's gonna motivate you to, it's either gonna, you know, it might get you into the types of music you never listened to. It might encourage you to pick up an instrument. That's the kind of story that it is. Like, that's the kind of effect I think it has. It's a really beautiful series. Again, I just realized I love coming of age stories. I love watching characters grow over the course of many volumes and just seeing the journey that they go on. I absolutely love that. Oh man, it's just thinking about the characters, it makes me almost want to tear up a little bit again, but I'm not gonna stop. I should have, oh man, I forgot to mention there's a really well done romance in the series as well. There's a character, Maho, and she is one of my favorite characters, and I didn't even mention her. She's gorgeous. She's got like attitude. She's just an awesome character. I mean, you will fall in love with her. She's kind of like, she can be kind of, what's the word? Abrasive at times. But she's really just a sweet character, and her relationship in the manga is just so good. I mean, it goes through the typical manga stuff. Like, there's misunderstandings, the characters don't speak for a little bit, but things just get resolved in a natural way that I really liked. And my only complaint really about Beck is that I wanted to see more of these characters, but like the ending, I'm satisfied. I'm completely satisfied. I want it, you know, I can imagine where their future goes from here. Like, they're at, you know, I don't want to spoil anything, but like, it tied up a lot of loose ends, even loose ends I wasn't even expecting it to tie up, or loose ends I just forgot existed. It's kind of tied them up. My only complaint, I just want to see more of these characters. I want to see more of Maho and her relationship. I wanted to see more, but like, if your only complaint is that you want to see more characters, then I don't think that's really a complaint. It's just like, man, I love this story so much, I want it to go, keep going, you know? But it, you know, had to end eventually. That's going to do it for this episode, guys. I hope you guys sticked around. This is probably a long episode. Oh, you know what? I'm checking the time. It's not as long as some of the episodes I've done. So that's actually pretty good. So this is the episode on Beck. I encourage you to check it out if you can. And that's going to call it for today, guys. Next episode, again, Yona of the Dawn, part two. I'm going to read through it, I promise. I also have some other projects that I'm considering following through on. I really shouldn't be introducing more work into my life, but I have a tendency to get really excited about things, and then I want to do it, and then when I do it, I can't stay consistent with it. But anyways, there's some stuff on the back burner that I'm working on, and hopefully that can see the light of day, but I'll let you guys know. It's actually... it's not related to manga. I mean, in a way it is, but it's not. I'll give you more details when it becomes, you know, comes into fruition. But yeah, look, I have a secret project cooking up, and looking forward to revealing that. Thank you guys. I noticed, I just been checking on the you know, my posting frequency, right? And I've noticed I've been consistently doing this like every 2 weeks. So I think Monkolog has just turned into a bi-weekly podcast just kind of naturally. I wasn't intending that to happen, but it seems like that's the amount of time it takes me to record for some reason. So I guess, you know, I'll try to stick to that bi-weekly schedule. That seems to be what's working best for me right now. This episode came a little later after the last one, but you know, it was about 2 weeks. So these past three episodes. So maybe that's what I got to do, because weekly, as nice as that is, and as it seems like a lot of people prefer weekly, but it's just tough. I didn't realize how tough it was until I started doing it. And instead of stressing myself out committing to that weekly schedule, it makes more sense to do it bi-weekly. So I think that's what I'm going to do, guys. But yeah, appreciate you listening. And yeah, I'll catch you on the next episode again. Yona of the Dawn Part 2, this time for sure. Thanks, guys.